This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إن الحمد نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من الله فهو المهتد ومن لن تجد له ولي مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحابته ومن لا يوم الدين أما بعد أيها الأخوة أيها الكرام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله ونسأل الله تعالى أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا ويكفر عنا سيئاتنا نسأله بعلم نافع واسع وعليه نتوكل ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Praise be to Allah. After praising Him, Lord of the worlds, we send peace and blessings on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after saying to you, we ask Allah for His acceptance for any of our efforts and sincerity in them. We ask Allah to forgive us and to have mercy upon us, and to give us knowledge and understanding that which is beneficial and wide sustenance. And we utterly depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Him is our return. No power might accept that of Allah. We begin, continue with the dua of asking Allah to protect us in difficult times, in many ways, physically, financially, mentally, and spiritually. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase in iman and give us sabr and develop in us that tawakkul. Maybe from these trying times, we pray that more humanity comes back to Allah as many have gone away from our Creator. Glory be to Him to whom we are returning. And pray to Allah for mercy on those who have left the world, and dear ones, and from those who are far away. Allah is most merciful, most compassionate. He is the judge and will judge on the day of judgment. Allahumma ameen. After a long, if you remember, we have we are still on hadith number 12. And just to remind you, it's hadith we clarified last time, best opinion of majority of the ulama of hadith, like Ahmad Yahya ibn Ma'in, al-Bukhari, and al-Tirmidhi, and others, that this hadith is not from the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is mursal from Ali ibn Hussein. Ali ibn Hussein, we said last time, was grandson of Ali radiallahu anhu, great grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali ibn Hussein is the one who's known as Zainul Abideen. Anybody know what Zainul Abideen means? His name is Zain, actually. It's not Zainul. One of our dear brothers in the community is actually called Zainul. Taken the L from Al Abideen. His name must have been Zainul Abideen. You can't be called Zainul, really. But anyway, alhamdulillah, those are in technicalities of language. Zain means the embellishment. The embellishment of those abidin was used for people who were ascetic, zahid, from the zuhada, those who had to do with the world, lived a sort of very simple and poor sort of life. Ali ibn Hussein was one of them, and he was a scholar as well. Another example from the tabi'een of that is the famous Al-Hasan al-Basri, who was also Abid, aesthetically orientated, and a great. Anyway, Zain al-Abidin is Hussein. This is Mursal. In other words, he misses out the cut in it in the chain, so it cannot be said the Prophet said this, therefore it is weak to the Prophet. So it's reported in this statement, of course, in An-Nawwi, it says the Messenger of Allah said, because An-Nawwi thought it, accepted it as a good hadith, but that's not the best opinion in regard. It's saying, min husn al-Islam al-mar tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. From the good of someone's Islam, yeah. From the good of somebody's Islam is leave alone that which does not concern part of the goodness of somebody's Islam. Is that? That's the statement. So we're going to contemplate on how then the scholars of obviously, the scholars did share or an exposition, an explanation, how they dealt with this. I mean, An-Nawwi, for example, of course, he accepts it as a good hadith, but he says very little. As you know, An-Nawwi's exposition of the Arba'een 40 hadith is very brief. And in this hadith, he is very brief, but he does mention, to remind us, that others, scholars, some Maliki scholars, and certainly Abu Dawood, from the famous collectors of hadith of Abi Dawood, the Abi Dawood, Abu Dawood famously said, report from him, and is authentic to him, Sijistani, I was trying to think of, not Abu Dawud al-Tayalusi. He said, I have looked into the Sunan, he means the Ahadith of the Prophet back, he means authentic to the Prophet, and I found them to be around 4,000 Hadith revolving from the Sunnah, looking at the Prophet Hadith, in other words. But the whole of the Sunan or the Sunnah revolves around, meaning all of these 4,000 plus, revolve around four of them, Abu Dawud said. One, Innam al-A'malu bin-Niyyat. He did the exposition of hadith number one of An-Nawwi's 40 hadith. Yeah, every deed is judged by its intention. Then the second hadith that it revolves around is a prophecy in which he says, "Innal halal halal bayyin, wa innal harama bayyin, wa ma baynahuma umurun mutashabihat." This was hadith number 6 that we did in the exposition of the 40 hadith. Hadith number 6 in his collection. So that's the second puts in the 4 most important hadith as Abu Dawud saw it. Yeah. Surely that which is halal is clear, which is haram is clear, and between them both are issues which are. Now, the third he was said was what we covered in hadith number 10. Yeah, so you can see why Nawwi's put these important hadith in his 40 collection as well. Hadith number 10, which was in Allah tayyibun la yaqbal, which was to do with dua and to make sure the dua is with sincerity and the behavior. The life we live by is a reflection of when we tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are doing his ibadah sincerely. That was hadith. And finally, he says this hadith. So Abu Dawood obviously sees this hadith as okay, as acceptable. But that's not the best opinion. Well, I know we just mentioned that in regards to when he did this hadith. Imam Tufi, who came after Nawawi, one of the first expositions of the 40 hadith. He goes into a little bit more detail, but he doesn't go into it's authentic. Or not. He accepts it as authentic. And therefore, he carries on then saying that part of being somebody's Islam being of a good standard of being good, tarkuhum, is to leave alone that which doesn't concern him or her. He's saying that leaving alone things that don't concern you is leaving alone that which is haram. That you stay away. And that's only part of being a good Muslim or part of the goodness of one's Islam. Because the other part, of course, is doing that which is being obligated on you. Yeah. So it's only one side of the coin, he's trying to say. Yeah. Leaving that which doesn't concern you, he says that which is not going to benefit you, that which is going to lead you into sin. So he's saying that's part of the meaning of overall, the general meaning of this hadith, that part of leaving alone that which doesn't concern you that many people forget about is that it's not just the doings of leaving, forget about the tongue. Leaving alone, meaning leaving alone, don't use the tongue for things which are haram and makruh. That is included in the things that you leave alone when they don't concern you. And that's briefly what he, as I said, he doesn't go into whether it's authentic or not. Interestingly, even last time, he clarifies that the best opinion in regards to this hadith is that it is mursal of Ali ibn Hussein. In other words, he means it is da'if, not authentic. But what's interesting, he doesn't then shelve it and say, okay, it's not authentic, then we don't need to do an expert. He does then go and then discuss some aspects of the hadith. Well, that's interesting because you can look at it a couple of ways. One is that many ulama from the past and present look at weak hadith like this one, and if it isn't in legal rulings of haram and halal clearly, then they see it as fadila, which is to do with virtuousness of behavior, etc. So this they would count as part of, you know, what kind of behavior is virtuous, and many would take weak hadith in that regard and just use them, but try and avoid saying the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it, but still take benefit from it. I'm of the follower of those scholars and of the opinion that I don't take weak hadith for even those matters, fada'il. Why? Because in virtuous matters, often people don't differentiate between weak hadith and very weak hadith and mawdu or fabricated hadith, which clearly are totally unacceptable, and very weak hadith are also totally unacceptable. So people don't differentiate, they just lump them all together. And the ones who are doing that often don't realize the difference between slightly weak, bit more weak, very weak, and fabricated. They don't make that differentiation. That leads to also, secondly, big problems, because many of these fabricated or weak hadith or very weak come with virtues in things which are minimal and give great rewards in it. So it causes a tipping of the balance. So it gets people busy with trivial little things, yeah, which seem to have been expanded into rewards of doing so many hajj, and as though you've read the Quran so many times, that people get busy with these things, which are not in authentic hadith most of the time. Yeah, so it shifts the balance for things which are actually obligatory, whether in ibadat or whether in behavior, which is crucial in life as part of Islam. So people get busy themselves with smaller things which didn't even come in authentically. Right. This is why I dislike using. And it also, thirdly, finally, gives an idea, which is against the Quran, I believe, that as though Islam and the Prophet, the Quran and Hadith, need weak statements to try and complete it, otherwise as though something's missing. Allah in Messenger, in truth, left nothing out which was necessary to guide us. We don't need to depend on weak, very weak, or fabricated hadith for any more information. And that's my stand on this, and the stand of other scholars whose opinion on this I certainly follow. Ibn Rajab, interestingly, even though he takes this as a mursal, and then starts discussing the idea of that the completeness of Islam He's saying, what does tarkuhu ma la ya'ni me? Tark, of course, means to that which you leave alone from qawl and fa'l, from doings and from speaking. Yeah, it means leaving both. Yeah, ma la ya'ni, he says, ma la ya'ni means the opposite of that is inaya, or concern with which that which is important. If you're busy with concern, being concerned with that which is important in life, then you leave alone that which doesn't concern you. And in that, he says, will include haram, will include makruh, and may even include things which may be mubah. But I can see why he's saying here, not the fact that you leave because it's haram, but because it may involve of wasting time or going into excesses, even in the mubah. However, interesting that he does. People forget often about the tongue. Yeah, so he does delve into therefore the tongue quite a lot, because he feels people don't neglect this idea of rolling their tongue. Yeah, so tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, leaving alone that which doesn't concern you. He is going on without giving details about being careful about tongue. In that regard, it's interesting what I find from Ibn Rajab after doing all that exposition of making this hadith weak, that it's fine, he mentions the tongue as part of the meaning. My standing on this, and I've come to it after I've given you a little bit of what Ibn Rajab said, is that this hadith, which is not authentic, so we don't actually need it. When we say it's not authentic, we shouldn't have to then keep relying on it to try and come up with the idea that it's mentioning. The idea that it mentions of a person's Islam being good is that they leave alone that doesn't concern them, must be therefore present in the meaning of Islam from Quran and Hadith, otherwise, wasn't it? If this is the only Hadith bringing that idea and we've said it's weak, then we must say that this idea is not acceptable. But I'm not saying that. I also said last time that the idea we don't need this for bringing this idea. And I'll give you then, I must then give you then, from Quran, Hadith, other evidences to show whether this idea is being brought out. All right? A part of it is, of course, the tongue, as Ibn Rajab correctly says, and he refers first to the Quran. We don't even need to go to Hadith. Hadith have the idea. And he mentions, like, in regards to being careful with the tongue, that Allah SWT says, yeah, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. He takes the ayat off, Surah number 50, around the middle of it, where Allah SWT is saying, indeed, we created the human being, and we know that which is whispering inside him, yeah, inside himself. Yeah, and we are nearer to him than his jugular vessels. Yeah, so it begins like that Allah SWT, although he's talking about what's going inside, but the ayahs that come after is where he's concentrated. But this is like a warning of Allah SWT, is fully aware of everything that you do, from fa'l and qawl, from doings and speaking, to the extent that he's aware of what's going on whispering inside you, never mind what's being done from the outside. Then he mentions, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ. When the two, they are taking ready to record on the right and the left. Yeah, on the right and left, talking about angels were recording on the right and left. Yeah, present on the right and left, the recording angels for the things that we do and we say. Yeah, and ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد. Not a word does he or she utter, illa ma ladayhi, except that there is an observer and a recorder ready to record. Yeah, ready to record, in other words. So he's using this evidence from the Quran about we must be so careful what we say, because not a word is uttered that the angels on the right or left are recording it, depending on if it's good or bad, or what you've said. Which is fine. And then he mentions, of course, another from Surah Az-Zukhruf, verse number 80, where Allah SWT says, وَأَمَّا يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّا لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. Yeah? Or do they think that we do not that which they utter in secret or in secret meetings, what they discuss, that we don't hear it? بَلَا وَرُسُلَنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Nay, but our messengers, are there with them, everything, meaning the two angels right and left. So as he focuses strongly, Ibn Rajab, on the tongue, he also, interestingly, he now goes on to mention a few ahadith also to support the same idea, a similar meaning to hadith number 12. He's going to mention, and I'll give a few examples of them, are actually weaker than the hadith that he's already said is weak, which is ironic. And I disagree with, because you don't make a hadith weak, the hadith that you're doing exposition of, first make it weak, and then you bring evidences from other hadith which are even weaker than the one that said is weak, to try and bring the same idea out. That's not right. Yeah. And I hope you understand what I mean by that. For example, he quotes in the Musnad of Ahmad and Tabrani, hadith from Hussein, which says, hadith from Hussein, and in the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Husni Islam al-Mar, qillat al-kalam fi ma la ya'nihi. From the goodness of someone's Islam, similar to the hadith that we're talking about, a person is to speak little that which doesn't concern him or her. To speak, in other words, to use the tongue which doesn't concern, have little to do with that. This hadith is similar meaning to the one we're discussing, except it's talking about just kalam from the tongue. Otherwise, the words are the same. Yeah, this is very weak. It has not just one problem, but at least two problems with it. So we can't accept that. Then he mentioned another hadith from Ibn Rajab, which is also very weak, not acceptable. He said the Prophet said, Murhum, saying, order them, bi ifshah is salam, to spread salam, spread salam, which can mean salamu alaykum, but it can mean also to spread peace and security. Wa qillat al kalam, and to be meager, to talk little, in other words, concerns. So similar meaning again, this hadith is also not acceptable. So if I'm having to rely on hadith which are weaker to prove a point that this is part of Islam, then I'm on a weak footing. This is not the way to go about it. I must bring something authentic to say the meaning of this hadith is present in Islam. These are weaker. Another one he mentions from Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, Ibn Hibban. And he says that the Prophet said, Kana fi suhuf Ibrahim. It was in the scripture that was given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yeah. Upon the wise person, basically, it's saying that that he divides his time into various times, he or she. A time in which he or she is basically worshipping his Lord and calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a time, وَسَاعَةٌ يُحَاسِبُ فِيهَا نَفْسَهُ, and a time in which he spends taking account of himself or herself. وَسَاعَةٌ يَتَفَكُّرُ فِيهَا صُنُعِ اللَّهِ, and a time he or she spends in reflecting on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it goes on like this. Hadith is also very weak. Yeah, it is not acceptable. Yeah, not just weak, but very weak. He mentioned something which is mentioned by Imam Tufi Ibn Rajab, a statement of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. I haven't checked it, but it's not a statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so we have more a liberty to take from it, and the meaning is good. He says that Umar bin Abdul Aziz said in a statement, "Man adda kalamahu min amali," counted speech as part of their deeds, qalla kalamuhu illa fima ya'nihi. Then his speech was little, yeah, and only that which concerned him or her. So similar meaning, but as a statement of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rather than a statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these are some of the evidences he gives, aside from talking in general terms about speaking, yeah, and indirectly warning about that. Most of the evidence he gives to try and show that this hadith authentic from has means from Islam already there, are not acceptable as evidence. The statement of the hadith in Ibn Hibban saying the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that something which came from the scriptures of Ibrahim alayhi salam is actually an authentic statement, not to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but it comes in the book of Ibn Abi Dunya. And it's a beautiful statement. I really like it. Not hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But since he mentioned that, I thought I should mention to you that something similar has been said by a tabi'i called Wahab ibn Munabbih. And this statement of the tabi'i is mentioned by Ibn Abi Dunya in his book, Mahasbatun Nafs, accounting of yourself. So Wahab ibn Munabbih, who was a good, pious, and wise tabi'i, he said, it is said. Notice he didn't say the Prophet said. He doesn't mention anything about whether it was in the Suhuf of Ibrahim or not. It's not necessary. But it is said, and he likes this statement himself, so he passes it on. And it is beautiful and full of wisdom. He says that a person should spend their time, divide their time, and this is how they should spend it. They should spend some time in imploring, similar to the other statement, which is claimed as a hadith of the Prophet, but it goes into more detail. A time to spend imploring his Lord, his or her Lord. Yeah, some time or an hour should be spent. When they say a sa'atu, they mean time. Yeah, dividing the time into doing different things. The time of the 24-hour day period, for example. So when they say an hour, they don't mean exactly an hour. Yeah, sometimes should be spent in taking account of oneself. Yeah, what have I done in the last 24 hours, etc., or the last day, etc. And an hour, yeah, يَخْلُو فِيهَا إِخْوَانِهِ الَّذِينَ يُخْبِرُونَهُ بِعُيُوبِهِ. Yeah, and an hour he should spend in the company of his friends, those who inform him or her of his weaknesses, and they are honest with him or her about him. So in other words, he's not just saying spending time, an hour with friends, but what kind of friends? What are the best friends? My best friends are those who are able to point out my weaknesses in my fi'l and qawl, what I do and what they observe, rather than they stay quiet. Yeah. So that's the best friends, those who are able to point the weaknesses out, rather than those who are afraid to point them out, and those who are just yes people around you and just clap their hands all the time with anything that you do. No, That's why, and they are truthful with him in regards to himself. Yeah. So he's spending time with those kind of people. Then an hour, يخلو فيها بنفسه وبين لذاته لذاتها. And now he spends with things which are desirous for him, which he or she enjoys. Yeah, that is part and parcel of wisdom. Yeah, he's actually saying, not in other words, all the time isn't spent on the prayer mat, just praying and fasting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, part of the wisdom is to a time which he or she spends with things that he or she likes and enjoys and desires. Fima yuhillu wa yuhmad. In that which has been made halal and praiseworthy, not in haram things, of course. Yeah. Then he says something very beautiful. فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ السَّاعَةُ عَوْنًا عَلَىٰ تِلْكَ السَّاعَةُ وَإِجْمَامًا لِلْقُلُوبِ. He's saying that this time that he spends with his leisure activity will be helpful for the other hours of ibadah and worship and reflection. It's like it's like taking a break from studies, isn't it? We have it in all aspects of our life. Whatever kind of work we do, whether it's mental, physical, everybody needs to take a break, because the break energizes us, doesn't it? That's the nature of human beings that we were made for. That's why it's still reflected in our everyday life. Yeah. So again, with ibadah, so he's saying that this leisurely time actually helps the person with the other hours of ibadah, reflection, and it also refreshes the heart. Yeah, refreshes the heart. Then he finishes off saying, وَحَقُّ عَلَى الْعَاقِلِ أَلَّا يُرَى ضَائِنًا إِلَّا فِي ثَلَاثًا. And it is, and this is actually similar to the statement which has been mentioned as hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, Ibn Hibban, which is not hadith, that the duty of every wise person is that they are not seen settled except, in other words, they are not seen busy except and concerned with except with three things. Zadil mi'ad, yeah, provisions. They are busy with collecting provisions for the hereafter. That's the one of the three things they're busy with. Wa'aw marammatil ma'ash, yeah, or they're busy with repairing and making good the things to do with this life, yeah. Not destroying things in this life, but making good. They're busy doing things which are beneficial. Yeah, whether it's moving something harmful for the road, whether it's treating someone, whether it's being a help to someone, whether it's repairing roads, bridges, building hospitals, teaching, engineering, cleaning the roads, etc. All that is part and parcel of that. And then he said the third is, or ladhatin fi ghayri muharram, or the third thing they're busy with is also recreation, that which is not haram. Yeah. Then he says finally, وَحَقُّ عَلَى الْعَاقِلِ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَارِفًا بِزَمَانِهِ حَافِظًا بِلِسَانِهِ مُقْبِلًا عَلَى شَأْنِهِ. Yeah, it is the duty of every wise person that they are fully aware of the time and place that they're living. Look at that. That's context, isn't it? Yeah. In other words, they don't do inappropriate things, and they keep in mind what culture and society and where they are living. Arifan bizamani, hafizan bilisani. Yeah, keeping control of their tongue. There it comes, what Ibn Rajab was talking about. Yeah, that they are mindful, keep control of their tongue. Mukbilan ala shatni, facing their concerns head on. Yeah, so I thought I should mention that, because I thought it was a beautiful statement of wisdom from mentioned by Wahab ibn Munabbih, but not in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Carrying on, Ibn Rajab, as I said to you, focuses on the tongue a lot, and he's mentioned those various things I've already mentioned. Then he mentions some authentic, one or two authentic ahadith to do with control of the tongue, which we'll come to later on. And that's absolutely fine. Then he mentions and goes into an issue of some hadith which are authentic from the idea of the goodness of one's Islam. He takes it from that angle. And for example, he mentioned a hadith which is in Nasa'i and also in Al-Bukhari, which is authentic, saying that the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا أَسْلَمَ الْعَبْدُ فَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُ. Yeah, when a slave accepts Islam, becomes Muslim, yeah, and his or her Islam is good, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ كُلَّ حَسَنَةٍ كَانَ أَزْلَفَهَا وَمُحِيطَ عَنْهُ كُلَّ سَيِّئَةٍ كَانَ أَزْلَفَهَا. That Allah writes down for him or her when somebody embraces Islam and their Islam is good. We need to look at what that means. Allah writes him down, writes down all his good deeds, which he even did before he embraced Islam. He or she did before they embraced Islam, and wipes away all the evil sin deeds that they did before they embraced Islam. So the good remains. And it is the evil ones, the bad, the sinful ones from before they embraced them that are wiped away. And after that, there is compensation, recompense. Al-hasanatu bi ashrati amthaliha ila sab'i mi'at da'af. Yeah, then every good deed after the embrace, 10 to 700 times or more the reward. Yeah. بِمِثْلِهَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَجَأَفْوَنْ وَالسَّيِّئَةُ بِمِثْلِهَا. And a bad deed is rewarded equal recompense. Bad deed, one bad reward, sin written down, except يَتَجَاوَزَ اللَّهُ الزَّوْجَ الْأَنْهَا, except if Allah overlooks it and wipes it away even. This hadith he mentions, and and then a similar one in Sahih. That one of the companions said, Qult ya Rasulullah, I said, O Messenger of Allah, Ashya'a kuntu afil jahiliya. What about the things that I used to do in Jahiliya before I embraced Islam? Qala Hisham ya'ni atabarraru biha. He means, the reporter saying what he meant was, what about the good things I did while I was in Jahiliya? About, not about the bad things. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Aslamta ala ma aslafta laka min al khayr." You have submitted and embraced Islam, yeah, and that includes, yeah, with all the previous virtuous acts that you did, even in Jahiliyyah, yeah. So that's similar to the hadith I mentioned. Why does Ibn Rajab mention this hadith? He mentions it because it mentions in the hadith, فَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُ. Yeah, when somebody embraces Islam and they make good their Islam. What does that mean, فَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُ here? فَحَسُنَ إِسْلَامُ means that they are sincere in their Islam. That's what it means, that they are not munafiq. Yeah? That they are sincerely embracing Islam. They're not doing it just superficially. Yeah? And that idea... that idea is brought out in the hadith that I've already mentioned. Yeah, and similarly, other hadith mentioned similarly. But when I look at these hadith about somebody embracing Islam, and then they're sincere embracing their Islam, and then they are rewarded for the good deeds they've done before, yeah, and the bad deeds are wiped away, and then they are rewarded after that for good deeds 10 to 700 times or more the reward, that is not the topic of this particular week of Eid. I hope you're with me. This hadith, which we've said is weak, yeah, from Ali ibn Hussein, saying part of somebody's Islam being good is leaving alone that which doesn't concern them, is not the same topic as somebody embracing Islam and being sincere in their Islam, even though it use Hasuna Islamu. You can't just look at the word Hasan and try and then bring other hadith which have nothing to do with the topic. These hadith he's mentioning, which are authentic, and not the topic of this particular week hadith. I hope you realize what I'm actually saying. I hope I explained it clearly. Because it's talking about somebody converting to Islam and having their... And this hadith that we are dealing with in hadith number 12 is not talking about that. It's not talking about that. So I don't think it was relevant to mention these hadith. In regards to this hadith, even though the hadith are authentic, don't think is relevant for Ibn Rajab to mention that. He goes on when he's talking about, and that's the hadith I was looking for, which was on the same lines as what I've mentioned before in Bukhari Muslim, still Ibn Rajab. This is to show you this hadith has nothing to do with he's mentioning is nothing to do with the hadith that we're contemplating on. This one in Bukhari Muslim from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, qal, qulna ya Rasulullah. Ibn Mas'ud said, we said, O Messenger of Allah, anu wa akhidu bima amilna. Yeah. Will we be taken to account for what we did fil jahiliyyah? Yeah, before we embraced Islam. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ama man ahsana minkum fil Islam. Do you not realize that if one of you is good from you, is good in their Islam, fala yu'akhadu biha, then they will not be taken to account for what they did in jahiliyyah, meaning of the bad deeds. Wa man asa'a, whoever is bad in their Islam, what does that mean? They're not sincere. They're not sincere in their Islam. They're munafiq, really. They haven't embraced Islam sincerely. Ukhidha bi amalihi fil jahiliyyah wal Islam. They'll be taken to account for their bad deeds from jahiliyyah and in Islam because they never became a proper Muslim. So he mentions this hadith in line with the other ones which I mentioned. Again, this is to do with converting to Islam sincerely. It is not the topic of the hadith. And of course, he mentions correctly from the hadith of Amr ibn al-As, when the Prophet ﷺ said to him, did you not know that in Islam yahdimu ma qabla, that surely Islam, embracing Islam, it wipes out or destroys everything what went before, meaning of the bad deeds that you did. We know that, but that's not the topic in question. That's not the topic in question. So most of the rest of his exposition of this hadith is carrying on building on these hadith, which are not on the topic, because now he's talking about bad deeds from the past of jahili times when you were not Muslim being wiped out and replaced by good deeds because you embraced Islam, and the good deeds from the past being taken across as well, and you've been rewarded for. So he goes on now to mention the ayat from the Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرْ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. Yeah, this ayah is talking about Ibadur Rahman, I think it's Surah Al-Furqan, where Allah SWT is talking about those who don't call on others besides Allah, and they don't kill a person, yeah, which Allah has made haram, except through authority and based on truth and justice, meaning for the governments to decide, for the qudah, for the judges. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, and they don't commit adultery. And after mentioning all the various sins and how people will be punished for these sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an exception. إِلَّا مَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. This is the ayah I want to focus on. And what Ibn Rajab is focusing on, in line with the other hadith he's mentioned. Except those who do tawbah, and they have believed and do righteous deeds. For such people, Allah will replace their bad deeds with good deeds. And surely Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. Now, replace their good deeds with their bad deeds with good deeds. Why is he mentioning this ayah here? Because he's talking about already a hadith in which people are embracing Islam and their bad deeds are being wiped out, and therefore, and now they're making good deeds because they're Muslim. Yeah, so that's why he's mentioned this ayah. Yeah, and also that their previous good deeds are carrying on. Yeah, they still get reward for them. So he focuses now on bad deeds being replaced by good deeds, as he mentioned this in this ayah. And he mentioned that ulama have various opinions, interpretations of what it means by bad deeds being replaced by good deeds. Yeah. He said that some of them say that the bad deeds that they were doing because of kufr, because they were disbelievers, are now replaced with good deeds, because when you become a believer now, embrace Islam, when you do good deeds, they are being actually rewarded, and you're going to stay away from haram and bad deeds. So therefore, Allah has replaced your bad deeds with good deeds. Yeah, in that sense, in a worldly sense. Yeah, of course, their rewards are in the hereafter. Some others said that it means that the bad deeds will be replaced by good deeds in the hereafter. And the third category said both are included in this. Yeah. On this, let's look at the second category, because it linked with the third category as well. Those who said that this means bad deeds being replaced by good deeds means in the hereafter, they quote a hadith of the Prophet, which is in Sahih Muslim, in which it mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give me one second. La ilaha illallah. I know the meaning of it. Here it is. In Sahih Muslim. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Inni la'alamu akhira ahli al-jannah, dakhul al-jannata wa akhira ahli minha. He said, surely I know the last person from the who will be the companions of paradise. Last person who will enter paradise, I'm aware of them. And the last person who will be taken out of hellfire. Yeah, taken out of hellfire. This last person will be obviously the last person also who enters paradise. Yeah, and he said, so, he'll be brought. On the day of resurrection. So he's being brought, he or she is brought out of hellfire after we don't know how long. And Allah SWT will say, it will be present his bad deeds from the small sins. Yeah. And the major sins will be taken away from this person. فَتُعْرَضُ عَلَيْهِ صِغَارُ ذُنُوبِهِ فَيُقَالُ It will be said to him, عَمِلْتَ يَوْمُ كَذَا وَكَذَا وَكَذَا Did you do on such and such a day, such and such وَعَمِلْتَ يَوْمَ كَذَا And it will be repeated. And he will say, yes. He will not be able to deny it. And he or she will be fearful about the major sins. Because Allah SWT has already presented this person's afraid. And it will be said to this person, فَإِنَّ لَكَ مَنْ كُلِّ سَيِّئَةٍ حَسَنًا In place of all these bad deeds, yeah, they are being now replaced by good deeds. Remember, this is after punishment in hellfire. Yeah. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي قَدْ عَمِلْتُ أَشْيَاءَ He, my Lord, I certainly did other things which I don't see here now. Yeah, he's wondering about the major sins. Yeah. But Hadith is showing he's already been punished. But Allah in his mercy has taken out this. Did only the small sins and replaced those small sins with good deeds now to enter them into paradise. So when he says, I don't see from the other stuff that I did, and then the companion who's reporting Hadith says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dahika hatta badat nawajiru. And we saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughing when he's mentioning this Hadith. About this person who's going to say that to Allah SWT on the Day of Judgment. So there here, in this hadith, in Sahih Muslim, you notice on the Day of Judgment that the bad deeds have been after punishment for this person, after the fire, have been changed into good deeds to enter them into paradise from their small sins. Now, however, if you look at the ayah of the Quran and repeat it, look what it says. Except the one who does tawbah after doing sins. They've done tawbah in world. Man taba. And now do righteous deeds. Amila amalan salihan. They've already done them in the world. This person who's been taken out from the fire is not this kind of person in the ayah of the Quran. This person was in the fire because they were fasik, did a lot of sins. Yeah, so they don't fit this ayah. Amila amala salihan for such people. Yeah, the verse in the Quran says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ Allah will replace their bad deeds with good deeds. That's in this world, yeah? After the done tawbah, yeah? Whether it's embracing, coming from kufr into Islam, or whether they're from sinful times, now they do tawbah, yeah? Ask for forgiveness, start doing good deeds. So they've now stopped doing the bad deeds, so Allah's replacing their bad deeds and their life of bad with good, because they're now doing good deeds, yeah? So it fits with how this is reflected in this world. And I believe that's the best explanation of the ayah that Ibn Rajab mentions from the Quran, from Surah Furqan. Now, finally, this ayah, what we're talking about bad deeds being replaced by good deeds, about embracing Islam and making it good their Islam, is to do with sincerity of their Islam. All these things that Ibn Rajab has mentioned in a few pages and pages have actually nothing to do with this hadith. Nothing to do with this hadith is talking about somebody's Islam being good when they leave alone that which doesn't concern them, isn't it? That's what it's saying in essence. Even though it's not authentic, I say now that this idea of leaving alone that which doesn't concern you involves a tongue and behavior as well. Of course it does. And we don't need this hadith or any other weak hadith to corroborate this idea. This comes from Islam, from the Quran and Sunnah already directly. So what's it talking about? That which doesn't concern us. That which doesn't concern us, of course, what concerns us is doing things for the hereafter, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? So we need to be busy, yeah, opposite to that which doesn't concern us, is that which concerns us, yeah, in our ibadat, in doing righteous and good deeds. That's what we're going to be concerned. And leaving alone that which doesn't concern us includes, therefore, leaving alone that which is haram. Yeah? It's not to do with us. Whether it's drinking alcohol, or whether it's taking drugs, or whether it's sex outside marriage, or from the kaba'ir, or other sins, yeah, the list can carry on. So leaving alone, staying away, that Quran and Sunnah, we don't need this hadith to tell us, because the Quran and Sunnah tell us that that is haram. Haram means prohibition, and that there'll be punishment for that. Yeah, that idea is all there. Doing that which is fard, trying to have it and giving priority to the hereafter. Yeah, ithar al-akhirah, giving preference to the hereafter, is throughout the Quran and Sunnah, is it not? Yeah. So, and therefore, is already there. We don't need this hadith to tell us. But beyond that, it also has the idea of not wasting our time, doesn't it? That which doesn't concern us. Now, there may be things that we do which are mubah, okay. Supporting a football team, a cricket team, or any kind of team. Yeah, or a player watching tennis, etc., or playing these things. Yeah, generally these are mubah things. But can they become that which doesn't concern us? Yeah, when we waste so much time on them that they become an obsession, and all our life is spent just with these things. Just with these things. Yeah. With play and time wasting. A game, computer game, is similar. Watching TV and films is similar. They can be mubah and okay, and I'm not saying all of them are, yeah, but if we are on there day and night, yeah, and our prayers are going by and we don't have time for doing anything, they're not going to be much benefit to us sitting there doing this without control with a computer game, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, and when he said, I gave you all my favors, what did you do? And you say, well, I sat in front of the computer and played Call of Duty or whatever else everybody's playing nowadays, I don't think it's going to be put down as a good deed that's going to drive you straight into paradise because of the number of people you shot in the game. They're not going to be of any benefit. Total waste of time. So tarkuhu ma'ala ya'ni is already there. The idea, we don't need this hadith because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran about, he says, وَمَا خَلَقَنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرُضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. We didn't create the heavens and the earth and all that is between them just for play. Just for play. Other parts of Allah SWT, إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ اعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ وَزِينَةٌ وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ. And the ayah carries on. Know all of you that the life of this world is only play and a pastime. People busy with passing the time just with, in other words, with things they should have no concern with. Leave them alone. Lahu and lahu. Yeah, just pastime. Yeah, what are you doing? How's life? Oh, just passing the time. No. Life is much more precious, not just to pass the time sitting all day drinking coffee or playing games all day long. Allah says, and it is beautification and competition and bragging between you all in how much wealth you have and how many children you have. In other words, that's what most people are busy with, but life is not about that. Yeah. And another part of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُ. Surely the life of this world, in other words, the material life of this world and pastime, yeah? But if you believe and you have taqwa in Allah, yeah, then what, tu'minu wa tattaqu, then He will give you your reward. Yeah. So that clearly in the Quran and many places about winning life and wasting time is telling you, leave alone that which doesn't concern you. Don't waste your time and don't waste your life. The Quran is full of those kind of ayat, as is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A part of that, as I said, is in doing, a part of in statement of saying, and part of doing, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladheena amanu jtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann wa yuhibbun inna ism for suspicion is sinful. Yeah, over the going around, so stay away. Tarkuhu ma la yani, don't be going around suspicious of this, suspicious of that person. A suspicion to an exaggerated extent. Well, thinking of that, it reminds me of the wild concerns that are going around and how easily and calling people hypocrites. I've seen statements from these conspiracies that mix a few truths with masses of lies. How often have I seen that? This is because they have gone down the road of much suspicion and accusing people based on suspicion, and they fall into much sin of their pointed fingers and of corruption on others. So avoid much suspicion. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, and do not spy on one another. Don't waste your time. Leave alone that which, don't hang around wasting time spying on this person, spying on that person. Don't do that. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, and which is very common in society. And actually, it's praised now. It's part and parcel of social media, TV programs, newspapers, and all the magazines, isn't it? It's with her, or look what he's doing, or look what she's looking like. I think he's had private this surgery. I think he's done that. I think she's done that. What's all this? Yeah. This is all part of major sin that the society is full of, and we're falling into the same trap. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect. So that falls under that which doesn't concern you. Don't be involved in this. And backbiting, how that's part of such a missing backbiting, gossip, rumors. Oh, subhanAllah, you have to go into any of the workplaces and see how much people are gossiping. Yeah? How many people are gossiping, whether they're teachers or whether they're secretaries or whether they're nurses or whether, and gossip, gossip, gossip. And namima, which is gossiping, but it can also mean biting as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, famous hadith in Bukhari Muslim about inma la yu'adhiban wa ma yu'adhiban fi kabir. Surely they're only being punished, these two, is something which you see as which you think it's major, but obviously, amma ahadahuma, as for one of them, kana la yastati min al, he didn't take care about, couldn't care less. Yeah, and the other, what did he say? Amma al-akhar, fakana yamshi bin namima, as for the other, they went gossiping, spreading rumors, yeah, and backbiting. And this is all from the tongue, isn't it? This is back to the tongue again. Yeah, be careful going around. Yamshi bin namima, as the Quran, Allah SWT, after saying, وَلَا تُطِعِ وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ, in Surah Al-Qalam, Surah Noon, Allah SWT says, do not obey or follow all those حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. حَلَّاف is those who are always saying, Wallahi, Wallahi, by God, Qasme, Qasme. Yeah? Don't follow and don't obey these kind of people who are doing much oath-taking. And they are liars. Maheen means lying oath-taking. Because they are liars, to try and convince people that they are telling the truth, they're always saying, by Allah, Wallahi, Qasme, Qasme, I did this. Yeah. This is being criticized in the Quran. And how often do we find this in our community? Yeah. This is a sign of bad people, liars and sinners who do that. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hammazim Mashaam Binameem. Mufassirun said, Hammaz is those doing riba, namima, those spreading gossip, rumors, slanders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is criticizing these kind of people. Don't follow these kind of people. Mashaam Binameem around. Mashaam comes from walking or going around, spreading gossip, rumors, causing trouble between people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yeah, la yadkhulul jannah an-namam aw qattat," same meaning that the one who spreads rumors, gossip, and backbite not enter paradise, yeah, indicating it is from the major sin. So when we're talking about the understanding that comes from this weak hadith, is it elsewhere corroborated in the from the Quran and authentic? Yes, it is. We don't need this hadith. Yeah. Staying away from rumoring, from backbiting, staying away from that which doesn't concern us. Don't be busy with wasting time and with dunya things. Do something from the hereafter, which is us. Yeah. That is part of the goodness of one's Islam. That is part of the goodness of one's Islam. And we have that, as I said, from other evidences. So I hope that I did manage to get across some of the stuff that was mentioned in the previous expositions of this weak hadith and my critique and criticism of especially Rajab went with it with the greatest respect and love for him I hope that I got across some of the evidences from the Quran and Sunnah that bring that idea out already without the need for this weak hadith. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. I don't know what time it is. Oh, it's quarter. Oh, it's fine. Inshallah, we're all right, I hope. Okay, any questions on hadith number 12 then, brothers and sisters? I hope I didn't confuse you. No, well, we got complete silence. Has everybody gone to bed or
switched off? I have a question if nobody else does.
No problem.
So, Akhi, I was just actually looking at what you said, and in terms of obviously the hadith being reported, does it not point towards the fact that I know that it is a weak hadith and that comes through quite implicitly. I was also looking at some of the commentary by, I think, Sheikh Zarabosa was also making the same thing. And he actually, just like you are doing, he analyzed every single chain. And I was shocked at the scholarship that worked there with looking at every single chain, seeing how every person has been analyzed through the chain. SubhanAllah, this is a good learning for me. Does it not point at though that the base of the hadith somewhere is some portion that is authentic, and does that come back to basically the different gradations of hadith that are reported to us, as in whether it's I think it's a mursil or
mursil.
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah. Mursil doesn't indicate there's some aspect of it that's true. Mursil means there's a cut in the chain, and therefore we cannot reliably say, we don't say the Prophet said it. Yeah, we cannot say that. Hassan Hadith, which is good, where one of the narrators, it's not a break in the chain. Hassan means that one of the narrators is not as good with their memory, and sometimes they make mistakes. That can, if it's corroborated elsewhere and it doesn't bring any new ruling, that can, you can say, has some basis. When it comes to a weak hadith, we don't say it has some basis from that statement. So if you notice, I haven't said this hadith has basis because it's mursal. No, I'm saying the meaning of it is already present in the Quran and other ahadith.
Right.
That's the way to look at it.
Yes, yes. Okay. Thank you.
So we don't need it. Ibn Hajar, for example, also a great scholar and muhaddith, was one of the ones who said, if you're going to even use a weak hadith as a preacher or else otherwise, not for legal ruling, but if you can even do it, use it even in virtues, just to encourage somebody to do something, don't say the Prophet ﷺ said. Say it is said. Mm. Yeah, it is a wise statement, etc., etc. That's the way to put it. So you're not accused of being the one who lies from the Prophet ﷺ, which is a major sin.
Yeah? Yes, that was my next question.
فَلْيَتَبَوَّ مَقَعَدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ, as the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever lies from me will find their seat in the fire.
So if somebody puts this hadith forward and says that it is from the Prophet ﷺ, even though it isn't, and obviously the chain is weak, is actually incurring sin.
Yes, there can be, but somebody may do it out of ignorance, and therefore the lay people have to be careful. Yeah. But if somebody says, and they came across just Imam Nawawi, Imam Nawawi said this is a good hadith. Mm. Remember, as Zaragoza said, Sheikh Albani said, this is authentic, sahih. So if a person, and that's his ijtihad, remember, ijtihad, you can get right and wrong. He sincerely used all his ability as a muhaddith and he came to that conclusion. Majority of the ulama of hadith have said no, who are of a greater caliber than even Sheikh Albani and Imam Nawawi, we have said no, this is has no nothing going back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can't say that. Okay. So, but the basis of Albani's ijtihad will not make him have a seat in the fire because he's sincere and he's in his ijtihad, he felt it was. It could be taken as authentic. And now we said it could be a good hadith.
Mm.
So that's a different ball game. Yeah. So if somebody from the lay people says, I follow Sheikh Albani, and they use it like that, fine. That's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Interestingly, Sheikh Zaragoza generally follows the authenticity and corroboration of Sheikh Albani, but he clearly didn't hear, which was a breath of fresh air, actually. Shows you it wasn't just muqallid, just following.
No, I was actually quite surprised when I came to the bottom of his
yes.
And that it is. I was, wow, that's quite amazing.
No, it's good.
Thank you.
Anybody else? You see, what's important, I hope, what I was trying to bring out, you can read Ibn Rajab, if the English translation was around, and I've never seen it, it's all in Arabic, and you can be taken in of all the stuff he's saying. But I've been thinking about this hadith for weeks, by the way. You know, you don't come to the conclusion straight away. I've been thinking about this for weeks and trying to understand what trying to show and what does it actually mean, this statement, and what, because you can be taken in by the detail and think, oh, that's wonderful what he's saying here, which is true, but is it anything to do with the hadith number 12? So it's taken me weeks reflection thinking about it, and I, you know, often will switch off from whatever else and just think about this, yeah, and what I've got and what I've written, and then reflect myself. And it takes a period of thinking exactly how to critically analyze what other ulama have said. It doesn't come immediately, so you need time with these things, even when you're studying, you know, day and night with it. I hope you realize that.
JazakAllah khair again. If there are no other questions, may I ask another?
Yeah, if nobody else is asking, of course you can.
Okay, at the beginning, you mentioned about Ibn Hibban and his hadith in relation to, was it his report or or his saying, or was it something that was attributed to Ibrahim alayhi salam? Just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, Ibn Hibban is a Bukhari and Muslim, yeah, and Abu Dawud. Ibn Hibban has his own Sahih Ibn Hibban collection of hadith.
Yes.
In that, he mentioned the hadith from Abi Dharr, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that part in that statement, saying from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that part of what was revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salam in the scripture that was given to him,
yes,
is this. And then it goes on that a wise person is the one who, you know, basically divides their time up like this.
And is that from hadith, actually, a wise person?
Mentions this hadith, and I said to you, this hadith is very weak. Very weak.
Exactly. I missed that bit. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, it's very weak. And therefore, I gave you where the statement comes from, a tabi'i in Ibn Abi Dunya's book.
Right.
And I gave you the full of that. It's Arabic and translation. And he's, you notice, Wahb ibn Abi, the tabi'i, because obviously he's come across it. It's not authentic. So he says, it is said. They say the Prophet says.
Oh, I see.
But he likes the statement because it's full of wisdom.
Understood. So a statement of wisdom rather than an attributable authentic.
Yeah, no. It is not authentic to the Prophet.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you for the clarification.
But it's full of wonderful things in it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And can we take from it, even though it's not from the Prophet? Of course we can.
Just like, yes, the like Proverbs.
Yeah. Those can be even from non-Muslims, can't they?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we take the statement of scholars of Islam, which they've said as well, which are, you know, reflecting Islam and good behavior and not directly the words of the Quran or Hadith.
Yes. So, that's what I can say.
Ayyakum Allah. I think we're getting less and less in number because people have probably had enough and going. But anyway, I'll leave it there. Are we finishing?
Yes, Sheikh, inshallah. Until next week. The Wi-Fi kept on dropping a bit this week. I'm not sure
what's happening there.
Yes, sorry, I struggled to understand some things, which why I needed some clarification.
Sorry?
Yes, it was dropping off, Brother Munir. It was hard to hear you sometimes, which is why I needed to clarify certain things.
I am really sorry. You should have said that. I don't.
It's not your move. It's
like I could have made internet. Phone around. It might have improved it. So do let me know next time.
Too many people playing Call of Duty.
I don't think so. No. Jazakumullah khairan. Hafizakumullah. It's nice to I couldn't see you all, but it's nice for those who joined us. May Allah accept from us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.